Hello, everyone. This is the second week of Advent today, and we're remembering the birth of Jesus. That's the time of a period of year that we're celebrating now. Today, we're looking again at Jesus' birth and the parts leading up to that. First, I'd like to talk about something a little different. Going back in the era, there is a group that's really loved by people all around the world, and that's the Beatles. It's probably likely that many of you know and even appreciate their music. Amongst the members are Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. And usually it was Paul or John who made the songs, and so most people kind of appreciate one or the other of them. Their songs actually are ones that are actually published in the junior high school and elementary school books in elementary schools in Japan as well. So they are truly loved by people around the world. And just the person playing the bass a minute ago, Satoru actually looks like him. And he was actually called Paul at Kanuma High School because of that. He's playing and actually making a lot of songs for the Mugiwara band here as well. I encourage you to support the Mugiwara band and to go to their concerts. Amongst you today, there are probably certain songs that you think of when you think of Beatles music. Of course, it could depend on the era, but there are very famous ones. For example, Yesterday, Help, or Hey Jude. Amongst these, it's likely that in Japan, when people think of the Beatles, they think of a specific song, if you're in Japan anyway, and it's Let It Be. Actually, this is a song that Paul wrote, and he seemed to have done so based on a particular Bible verse. And the text of the lyrics is, "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be." So in these lyrics, it's referring to a Mary, and actually, Paul's mother's name was Mary, so it's possible that he was actually referring to his mother in writing this. But not only that, because Mary was the mother of Jesus, and it seems he was referring to that as well. Let it be, the words let it be, are the words that actually Mary said to the angel when she was spoken to by the angel. And apparently that's where he came up with these lyrics for the song. The Beatles at that time actually had different opinions of what to do and things, and they were actually kind of facing a dark time because they couldn't get along well together. Paul was trying to figure out some way for them to not dissolve their group as they were on the verge of the crisis, and came up with this idea also as well to let it be as is. In our lives as well, we go through different difficulties. And there's things that just don't go the way we have planned. When we are facing such kind of difficulties, just as Mary did, we can make the decision to truly just let it be as God has planned. Today we'll be learning about the topic of let it be from Mary's perspective and her faith with three main points. The first point today is unexpected difficulties. In the book of Luke, it's talking about how John the Baptist was first born and then what was promised after that. And that's what we're learning about here today. The people of Israel were told that there would be a Messiah born, and that was actually prophesied in the Old Testament and something that was long awaited by many people. To give birth to the Messiah was a huge thing, and it was chosen to have that privilege for a girl born in that area. It says in verse 27 that a virgin was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And this is also the name of Moses' older sister. She was pledged to be married to Joseph. And in those days, when a woman was to be pledged to marriage, what age do you think they would have been? It would have been around the ages of 13 to 15. So Mary would have likely been around that age. And in those days, there was a custom for the Jews when they got married, and that was for the father of the bride to father of the son to look for a bride, and then to pay first make an official offer, and after that was approved, then there would be a bridal fee that was paid. Then the groom would sign a form, and that would indicate it was official. And this would actually indicate it was legally recognized as well. And there would be a period of about a year before they were actually married and lived together. And in this period of a year was the period now referring to when Mary is in the passage today. So Gabriel, angel came and spoke to Mary. Verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was, it says, greatly troubled. It says, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." And the angel continued to explain that he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God, it says, will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So these are all symbols of the Messiah. And he was explaining how the child that to be born in Mary's stomach was to fulfill these as the Messiah. Mary, in response, asked a question. And this isn't because she was lacking faith, but just a legit question. She said to the angel, verse 34, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" In those days, and today as well, to have sexual relations was something that is a privilege to be given only to those who are officially married. In those days, they were engaged, and they hadn't been officially married, so that's why that had not taken place yet. The angel actually explains to Mary how she would become pregnant. She said, the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." In other words, the angel was explaining that she would become pregnant through the Holy Spirit. To have a baby, the Messiah born in this way was something that had been prophesied approximately 700 years prior through Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." In other words, this prophecy was made about 700 years prior, and it came to be fulfilled through Mary. Let's think about this for just a little bit. So she just heard this amazing news. Was it actually great news for Mary, though? Not entirely. The reason why is that this would mean that Mary's likely ideal image of marriage was kind of shadowed with a cloud. She was young, but she had likely imagined what would happen in her life when she got married. However, now she has been told she's pregnant with the Messiah. And she's probably wondering, will Joseph believe? And if not, then it'll be like she had an affair and she might have to be divorced because of that. In those days, for a woman to live on her own was pretty much impossible. And in those days, according to the law, and having an affair was considered adultery and could actually lead not only to divorce, but to death. So she may, if Joseph said something, it's possible that Mary could have been put to death. So this announcement was not something that was possibly entirely good for Mary to hear. In our lives as well, there are things that happen that don't go according to our plan. We couldn't get into the school we wanted to get in. We can't get the job we wanted. We make mistakes in our work. We break up with our friends, our loved ones, and have all kinds of accidents and illnesses, and are treated in ways that are unfortunate as well. Amongst these difficulties, there are times when we may doubt God. We may wonder, God, if you're really here, then why do such things happen? There may be things that cause us to think this way. So for Mary, it would have been likely that she could have thought such things in her head. But how did she respond? Let's look at the second point. It's Mary's faith and how God was with her. Let's look at that. Mary was suddenly faced with this situation, and she actually responded in a way that was surprising. She responded with faith, even this very difficult message that was hard to accept. She responded in verse 38 by saying, "May your word to me be fulfilled." So, in other words, like, let it be. So why is it that in these circumstances, Mary was able to say, "Let it be to me according to your words"? What was it that she based her faith on in this circumstance? A hint to this is actually shown in today's passage in the words that the angel told Mary. Looking at verse 28, the angels went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So for Mary, she was actually a very person deep in her faith. And looking at this content as well, you can see how that she knew the Old Testament very well. She knew, the angel told her that the Lord was with her. And you can see that in her, she could possibly remember all of the different passages from the Old Testament. To hear that the Lord was with her was something that was promised in the Old Testament and was something that God spoke when he was working through people. For example, Abraham, who was, and his son Isaac as well, and Jacob as well, God spoke to these people and said that he was with them. Even in Exodus as well, Moses too was spoken to by God, and Moses assistant Joshua as well. And around the world, David too was spoken to by God. He was spoken to generally and also specifically that God was with him. He promised that he was with these people at all times. In Mary's mind, she would have heard or remembered these passages likely. And he would remember the God of Isaac, Jacob, and others. And she would have been able to step out in faith through this same God who was promised to be with her. For Mary, this would have been a huge form of encouragement and allowed her to have the strength to be able to face what she was imagining would come forth. It's true for us as well in our daily devotions and through God's word as well. We have the opportunity to realize that the Holy Spirit is with us and how he speaks to us. And that those times we can remember that God truly is with us. And not just in our minds, but in our hearts as well, we can experience that. There was a father who had a son who was born, and the father was out jogging, and he really sensed the Holy Spirit, so he stopped and just turned his heart toward God. At that time, God spoke to him, it seemed, saying, "You love your son, don't you? But I love you even more." And there was a mother once who loved her children, but when she got stressed out, unfortunately, she would start shouting at them and becoming angry, and this happened on a daily basis. There was one day when her child knocked a cup with juice in it onto the floor, and when she was scolding him, the Holy Spirit spoke to her, the mom, and said, "Please correct your children, but do so kindly." And at that time she realized, oh, she is not alone and that God truly was with her. And after that incident, she actually stopped shouting at her children. To have God with you is a form of grace from God and allows us, even when we are facing difficulties, to trust Him. And that is what allowed, and Marian can allow us to let us have the faith to say, let it be according to your word to God. Let's look at the final point. And this is something that can help us when we are facing our difficulties. And it is something that is actually different than what Mary had at the time she was experiencing her difficulty. It's because we know what the result of the salvation of the cross is. The third point is faith in the salvation of the cross. Mary was a virgin, so she was asking how it would be that she would become pregnant. And the angel told her that she'd become impregnated through the Holy Spirit. The Messiah, Jesus, was not born through regular sexual relations, but rather through the Holy Spirit. And why was this necessary? It's because Jesus had to be born without sin. In the Old Testament, it states that there would be a resolution to sin through the concept of redemption. And this redemption method in the Old Testament was taken place through sacrificing animals. So the animal would take on the sin of a person and then be sacrificed to God. So what kind of animals did these animals have to be for sacrifices? They had to be animals that didn't have any defects or blemishes. So nothing that was had any blemishes could take to be acceptable for a sacrifice, which is true through the whole Old Testament. People always sinned, so they had to keep giving, making sacrifices. However, God came up with a method to redeem people with just one, in just a one-shot method, and that was through the cross of Jesus Christ coming to pass. Why is it that Jesus Christ was able to take all of humanity's sin upon himself? It's because he was born as a person with no sin in him. This was prophesied or referred to in the Old Testament with the concept of sacrifices taking place with something that was not blemished. And in this way, we can see it was necessary that Jesus be born in this way. At the end of Jesus' life here on earth, he headed toward the cross. And when he was going there, there was a passage that really reflects the conflict he was addressing, and that was through the time in Gethsemane. Matthew 26:39, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And this was prayed just kind of as Mary did as well. So he had the same mindset as Mary with the let it be concept. So how is it that this was able to take place? Well, in the Bible, there's actually a passage that refers to that in Hebrews 12:2, where it said about Jesus, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So Jesus was able to see this joy that was before him and was able to overcome the difficulty because of that. And what was this joy that he was seeing? This joy was what would take place after his death and resurrection, and that was the salvation of many souls. Through what he went through on the cross, he was able to make a way for many people to be saved. And as he was headed toward the cross, he was able to see this joy in all of our faces on the other side of it. he was filled with joy, and that was what enabled him to help overcome what the difficulty of the cross. Jesus' love is what is turned toward us as well. When we know about the cross, we can reflect on that and realize that we can trust Jesus, having that being the basis of our faith. I'd like to close with the testimony of a person. When I was in Hyogo Prefecture attending seminary, I went to help out with this other church there for a period of a year when I was a sophomore. And there was a woman who had been coming there for about a period of 10 years, but she had never been baptized. And I wondered, like, well, how could she come here for 10 years and still not be baptized? But when I started talking to her, I kind of figured out the reason why she was even coming, and I was amazed that she'd been coming for even 10 years. I'll explain a little bit about what had happened in her life. Her husband was a Christian, and she hadn't believed at that time, but after she got married, she started going to church every week and then came to faith. Her mother actually died of cancer, and then next, her husband actually came down with cancer. She prayed with other people at the church for her husband to be healed, but unfortunately, he passed away, leaving behind her and her young child, their young child. 2 weeks later, unfortunately, her older sister was involved in a traffic accident and was unconscious. So these three major things in her life took place within a short period of about 2 years. So these things all happened to her, but she still continued to attend church. And I asked her why, and she said, "Well, I don't know, you know, if there's really a God, why He would allow these things to happen. And I'm actually angry at God, but at the same time, I'm realized that if God really exists, I want Him to help me. I want Him to save me." So she really did have the desire to want to know God. And in speaking with her and learning about the Bible, she agreed to that and started to learn the Bible each week. Through our study of the Bible, the Holy Spirit really did begin to work in her life. And she believed that it was because of her sin that Jesus did take all of her sin upon the cross. And she was baptized, and she gave testimony saying that she didn't know why difficulties had happened in her life, and that how God's plan is something that is totally incomprehensible to humans at times. And it's possible that she would not even know the reason why things happen before going to heaven. However, she said that she did really believe that God was giving her the best plan for her life, and that Jesus gave His life for her and her sin. Because of that, and because of His love for her, she had the confidence to believe that God was truly doing His best in her life, and decided to profess faith in Christ because of this. With faith, she decided to give her life to Christ and walk with Him for the rest of her life. So it was a really impressive and touching baptism. The truth of the cross is what we can stand on and be the basis of our faith. God loves us so much, He gave His life for us, and He has the best plan for us in our lives. We stand strong on that. We can be able to stand up to the difficulties we face and overcome them and accept them. And even when we're going through difficulties, we, as Mary and as Jesus said, can say to ourselves, "Let it be." Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. This is the second week of Advent, and around the town, there's different Christmas decorations put up. At this period of time, we can remember once again about Jesus' birth and turn our hearts to you. Today, we've looked at Mary and the announcement of her being pregnant. We see how she was told she would give birth to the Messiah and how this was a blessing for Mary, but it also at the same time a great difficulty she was going to have to face in our lives as well. We face difficulties and challenges that are unforeseen at those times as well, though, Lord. We want to be able to say to you, let it be as your will is, Lord. Mary's basis for faith was through the Lord and the Lord being with her. We too, in our lives, in our daily devotions, and through interaction with the Holy Spirit, can be reminded that you are with us and have that conviction. Please allow us to have that strength and allow that strength to be able to allow us to overcome difficulties in our lives. When we are facing difficulties, we ask that you allow us to be remind us that we have this strong basis and that you gave your life for us to express your love to us. We can look up to the cross and recall our faith in you, remembering that Jesus Christ died for our sin. We know, Lord, that you can only do what is best for us in our lives. So there may be things that happen that we don't understand, but we can have the confidence that you are always working your best in our lives. Allow us, Lord, to be able to continue to pray to you and to be able to say, let it be. In this coming week, Lord, we ask that you allow us to be used for your purposes. With gratitude, we pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you in this coming week and forevermore. Amen.